So good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Amen. I'm excited about the word tonight. How about you? Yes. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to reinforce some things that Pastor Eric ministered last week about breakthrough. And can you say this with me? Breakthrough,
breakthrough.
Now.
Now.
Say it again. Breakthrough,
breakthrough.
Now. So he started off in Exodus chapter 14, and I'm not going to take the time to necessarily review and try to communicate things that he's spoken, but I believe that those that were here, you've received it, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will just meet us right where we are tonight, and it's going to be good. Amen? Hallelujah. It's going to be good. I mean, I know where we're going. At least I think I know where we're going, so just hang on tight. I will communicate this. Last week he talked about keys to breakthrough, and he dealt with three of them. And he talked about speaking faith-filled words. He talked about praise, and he talked about the anointing. And so as I go through this tonight, just keep those three things in the forefront of our thinking, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to reinforce those three things. You know, speaking faithful words, praise, and the anointing, that these are keys to breakthrough. And he talked about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. And let's look at this in Exodus 14. Second time, we'll look at verse 13. And it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which the Lord," hallelujah, "stand to see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish you today." It's the Lord accomplishing something. But Moses used the principles of faith by speaking faithful words. And he was telling them, first of all, don't be afraid. I want to speak that over to you right now.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
You know, there's this eclipse coming up. I'm sure you all have heard about it. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
There's things that you see in the news. Don't be afraid. It's amazing how many times we do things because of fear and don't even realize it. How many times do we skirt people or skirt conversations because of fear? How often do we not want to do certain things or go certain places because of fear?
Yes. Amen.
Fear. Fear will cause you to do things you wouldn't normally do. Well, but the word tells me in Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Give no place to the devil." Right? Give no place to the devil. The only fear that should be in our lives is our fear, or really our reverence and our awe for God. Any other fear, the root of it comes from the enemy, right? Hebrews chapter 2 tells us where fear comes from, right? So he's telling them, do not be afraid, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it says, "For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And what do we know? They walked over on dry ground. You know, I love when Eric talked about, he goes, that God already made a pathway. There was already a pathway. There was already footsteps through, right? Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. So keep that under the understanding of the Red Sea. And we're looking at verse 15. Thank you, Father. It says, "The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river, and strike it into seven streams, and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up, as they came up from the land of Egypt. Let me read this into the Message translation. It says, God will once again dry up Egypt's Red Sea, making for an easy crossing. He'll send a blistering wind down on the great river Euphrates, reduce it to seven mere trickles. Amen. He's going to take a river and he's going to turn it into streams. That means it's almost like you can just walk over it on sandals. Why? Because it's just a little stream. It's just a little trickle. Hallelujah. He will reduce it to seven more trickles. None even need get their feet wet. In the end, there will be a highway all the way from Assyria. That's the enemy's camp. Easily traveling for what's left of God's people. A highway just like the one Israel had when he marched up out of Egypt. Woo! Amen. Just in that same way. Amen. It's amazing what the wind of God could do. Just the breath of God, and all of a sudden, what was a river that was in front of you, all of a sudden now been changed to seven trickles. Amen. And there's a highway there. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. It is for us, but it helps us to find things. And Isaiah didn't go, okay, now that's the end of chapter 11. Now, come on, let's start chapter 12. That's not what Isaiah did. It was all written together. And so it comes right out of that, as it was for Israel in that day that he came up from the land of Egypt. Verse 12 then says, chapter 12 says, and, so he's still talking about the same thing. And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though at one time you were angry with me. Why would God be angry with them back then? Because they worshiped other gods. And because they worshiped other gods, they fell prey and became bondage to the Assyrians. And so God is really talking about breakthrough. He's talking about bringing them out of the bondage of the Assyrians and creating a highway to get them out, just the same way that God got the children of Israel across the Red Sea, right? Oh Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away. Are you glad that God's anger is turned away? Yeah. Amen. He did that. He created a highway when his anger was turned away. When did he create a highway for his anger being turned away? Was when he sent Jesus. Jesus is that highway. Jesus is that highway. If you look over in chapter 11, it talks about that Jesus is a rod, a stem of Jesse. It goes in and talks about that the Lord, the same one that's that rod, would be a banner. And then it says that banner would be lifted up, and it goes in. It's all prophesying about the Messiah coming. Verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. That's a declaration of faith, isn't it? Words of faith. God is, this is what you're going to say. God is my salvation. Can you say that? God is my salvation. You might be going through a storm right now. You might be facing setbacks right now, but I want you to know that breakthrough is now. Because what you need to be decreeing by faith that even though I'm in bondage right now, God is my salvation. A better translation of the word salvation in the Old Testament is the word victory. Say victory.
Victory.
So God is my victory. And then he says this, I will trust. This is something he's still saying. I will trust and not be afraid. Can you say it with me? I will trust and not be afraid. Then it says this, for Yah, Jehovah, Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. So he's declaring these declarations of faith with the words of their mouth. And he says, what? God is my salvation. He's saying, I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. Yes. Hallelujah. Where does my strength come? From him? Yes. The Lord is my strength and my song. Years ago, I was doing a series about about my victory, and the Lord translated this for me, and how I communicated to this house. And that word song is the object of my praise. I trust in Him, in the Lord. He is my strength, and He is the object of my praise. He's the object of my praise. So when you're going through the midst of adversity, what you need to see is that you need to say, He is my strength, but also declare, He's the object of my praise. Man, we could keep going with that, but verse 3 says, therefore, because of that, actually, let me finish. I didn't finish. He goes, He's my strength and the object of my praise, and He has also become my salvation. Because He's my strength, and because He's the object of my praise, He has now become my salvation. He's become my salvation. And because He's become my salvation, therefore, because of that, that's what really word therefore means. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His deeds among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, shout, O inhabitants of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. That great is the Holy One in our midst. So I want you to see, that without taking, because I need to go forward, but we see three things here, all of them dealing with breakthrough. We see a man of faith that is declaring who his trust is in. We're also seeing that same man of faith is releasing his praise. But the result is of the faith and the praise is God is great in the midst of us. That's the anointing.
Amen.
You see, when you are in a position and a place of faith and you're releasing your praise, it causes God to be great in the midst of us. That's the anointing. When He's wherever He is, that's where the anointing is. Amen. He is the anointing. God doesn't have the anointing. He is the anointing. You saw the Red Sea part. That was the anointing working. Talking about the breath of His mouth, drying up everything. That's the anointing working. It's the anointing that's working. If you even go back to chapter 10, verse 27, it talks about the anointing and it says the anointing breaks the yoke. It removes the burden. It destroys the yoke. That's what the anointing does, right? So we see for a key of breakthrough, we're seeing faith, faithful words, we're seeing praise, and we're seeing the anointing. Let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Thank you, Father. We'll start with verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Yeah, I love Isaiah. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. You're my servant whom I have chosen. A servant whom I have chosen. Can you repeat this after me? I am a servant that He's chosen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then it says, that you may know and believe me and understand that I'm He. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there's no Savior. There's no breakthrough apart from Him, Deborah. Nothing. There's nothing. But what is He talking to? He's talking to the servants that He's chosen. Stay with me here. There's no liberty. There's no breakthrough. There's no victory outside of Him. Hallelujah. We can try to look for objects or substances, but those things won't be our answer. We may try to look for a person or look for a relationship, but ultimately they won't be our answer. The answer is only found in Him. Let's look at verse 15. So before he said, I'm the Savior and there's no other one besides me, then in verse 15 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea and pass through the mighty waters. So this one, that's our Savior. Now he tells us he's the Holy One. That means he doesn't lie. And he's also the Creator. And he says, I'm your King. And he tells us what this Creator can do. He makes a way in the sea and pass through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished, meaning the enemy that's coming against you, they're going to be extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Then he says this, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Meaning God has the ability to make something out of nothing. God can make a road where there shouldn't be a road. God can make rivers in the desert. You know, they call it a desert. Why? Because there's no water there. There's only maybe oases there, but yet God has the ability to make something where there is nothing. That's my God. Hallelujah. He wants to do some new things in your life. He wants to make rivers in the desert in your life. Hallelujah. Then verse 20 says, the beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness. He even said, even creation is going to praise me. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he makes the rivers in the desert and he gives drink to, but then he says, to give drink to my people, what? My chosen. So just, we're his servant. He's chosen us. Now he closes this and he says, this people I have formed for myself. He formed for him. You know, you were made just for him. Wow. I love how the people I have formed for myself. Man, you need to find great value in that. Then it says, they shall declare my praise. These ones that I've chosen, these ones that I have the ability to make a way where there seems to be no way, those that I want to come through, those that I want to make a highway for, those people that I've chosen, those people I've formed for myself, hallelujah, I've formed them, they shall declare my praise. Let's go over to the New Testament. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. That's why it's so important. You can't throw the Old Testament out. Because what we're going to see is Peter preaches Isaiah 43 right here. So therefore we know that Isaiah, yes, he was writing in a present tense, but he also was writing to the church, future tense. Verse 9 says, but you are what? You're a what? Hallelujah. We just talked about chosen, right? I'm a servant that he chose. He goes, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo! Hallelujah. That's exactly what Isaiah 43 was saying. A people that I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praises. And here he goes, I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Keys to breakthrough, having faith in him. Keys to breakthrough, praise. Keys to breakthrough, the anointing. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 1. So how do we activate in some practical ways through Scripture and how this affects us in this revelation that we're talking about, whether we're talking about the Red Sea, whether we're talking about Isaiah 12, or whether we're talking about Isaiah 43? Because we know we've been a people and we're to do what? Declare his praises, right? That's the will of God for my life. You say, well, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? Well, there's a number of things we could talk about, but I want you to see tonight your will, the will of God for your life is to praise him. Because you're not just flesh anymore. Let's look at 1 Peter 4. Verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered, because Christ suffered for us in the flesh, he makes a distinction. He suffered for us in the flesh. Then he says, arm yourself also with the same mind. So he suffered in the flesh, so arm yourself with this same mind. For he who had suffered, talking about Jesus, in the flesh, has ceased from sin. Okay, so arm yourself. So Jesus was in the flesh, but he didn't sin, right? So he said, arm yourself, meaning you need to war with this. This is a weapon that we need to hold to. Arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men. But for what? The will of God. So my life should not all be about pursuing everything that Justin wants. Now we see the word lust, immediately we think of, most of our tendency is to think sexual. Am I correct? But really, lust just talks about doing anything to satisfy your flesh. You know what? You can have fear and it be lust. Because you want to satisfy your flesh to get away from something because you don't want to deal with it. I mean, it can come in a number of different ways. But basically, it's telling us that we should no longer live like other men do, but we live according to the will of God. For we have spent enough. Say enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. You know, Jesus deals with this statement in the we dealt with first things first. What is he talking about? He talked about fear. He talks about not fearing. He goes, because after all these things, the Gentiles seek. What are you going to wear? What are you going to put on? What are you going to do? See, that is all, that's still an aspect of lust. Some of you aren't following me there, but Because Jesus said we no longer live like the Gentiles are living. So how did Jesus deal with this same phrase with the Gentiles? He goes, you're not like the Gentiles anymore. They say they seek after those same things, and you're not like them. So what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Jesus said, Jesus wasn't all about don't have things. He just said, don't pursue things. He goes, because the Gentiles are seeking after all these things. That's their focus. Jesus's focus was not necessarily trying to please his flesh. Jesus's focus was to please the Father. So he went on and he's saying here that we've spent enough of our time doing the will of the Gentiles. It says, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. I mean, they're talking bad about you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Meaning the reason that gospel was preached ultimately was so I could start living like God lives and not live like the rest of the world lives. So if I'm going to experience breakthrough in my life, it's not going to happen by doing it like everyone else is doing it. If I'm going to experience breakthrough, I want God's breakthrough for my life. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's teaching here. Hallelujah. Breakthrough now. Hallelujah. Now breakthrough. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to separate is we don't live like everyone else. That's what if we're going to step into the breakthroughs and the things God has for us, it's not going to come to pout by the way everyone else does it, by the way the world does it. But we're going to do it according to the will of God. And this is what we're going to show you here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. Hallelujah. Now we need to go to verse 1. Sorry. This is dealing with the last days. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, see, he's talking about them, but now he's talking to the church, but you. So now this is something he's talking to you and me about. So this is when we got to prick up our ears and we need to listen, but you. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. What? You're not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. So that means you and I, as the church, we need to be awake. We need to be alert. See, the rest of the world thinks they're woke. But we're sons of, but they're actually in darkness. But we're sons of light. And we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do but let us watch and be sober. The word sober there means to have self-control. It means to have self-control. Because if you're not sober, you don't have control. Do I need to explain that a little further? If you are not sober, you don't have control. Therefore, verse 6 again, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we're to be alert and we're to be in control, not out of control. For those who sleep, because then we explain it here. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. This is a warning. Let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. Meaning what we need to do, no matter what it looks like on the world, we're awake and we're in control. Why? Because we have three things. We have faith and we have love and we have the expectation of victory. It's easy for me to say. We have faith, we have love, and we have an expectation for victory. I've got an expectation for breakthrough. How about you? I've got an expectation for victory. Why? Because I have the Lord on my side. I have faith in him. I know that he loves me. And because of that, I have an expectation of victory. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for God, now get this, for God did not appoint us to wrath. You're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. See, you don't have an appointment for wrath, but I want you to know you've got an appointment for breakthrough. I'm not appointed to wrath. He took care of that with Jesus, and Jesus became the highway for me. And because of that, I don't have an appointment with wrath. I've got an appointment. I've got an appointment with salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you going to show up for your appointment? Yes. Hallelujah. But to obtain, to receive salvation that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm edifying you. I'm building you up. I'm bringing comfort that it doesn't matter what you're going. I want you to know that as you continue to release your faith, you continue to meditate on his love for you, and you continue to have an expectation of victory, hey, it's going to come to pass. It will come to pass. Now let's keep reading, because verse 12 says, and he's still talking here. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. I'm admonishing you right now. And to esteem them verily highly in love. So you need to esteem me highly in love. Praise the Lord. Only two of you like that, but thank you. Highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Then he says this, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. And here's the key, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here we see it again. What's the will of God for you? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Hallelujah. So what do you do while you're waiting for breakthrough? Father, I thank you that you're my salvation. I trust in you. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. How do I respond in the midst of this adversity? What's the will of God for me while I'm going through this storm? Father, I thank you. Hallelujah, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you. I trust in you, and I thank you that you're a good God, that you're a faithful God, that you're a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Say breakthrough now. See, I'm just reinforcing the fact that we have our faith in him, we praise him, and we realize the anointing is what brings about the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Thank you, Father. Verse 14. Could read starting in verse 8, but for sake of time, let's do 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleeps and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I translated this one time. Awake you who are indifferent. Get up you that are without life. In Christ, the anointed one, he will give you fire. Hallelujah. So because of that, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Hallelujah. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming there means to buy up opportunities. The phrase redeeming the time means to buy up opportunities because it gives you the advantage. Amen. Redeeming the time because what? The days are evil. The word evil translates here annoyances, perils, situations of pain or trouble. So he says, redeem the time, buy up the opportunities and get the advantage. Why? Get the advantage. Why? Because in the end times, there's going to be situations of pain and trouble. There's going to be situations that just annoy you. Anything ever annoyed you? Don't look at your spouse. That's not. But this is redeeming the time. Verse 17, therefore, because of that, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here we see it again. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what the will of God for you is? To be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms. Wait a minute, speaking to one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see it again. What's the will of God while you're walking this earth? Giving thanks, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and giving thanks. Amen. Praise. Giving praise. It's a key to breakthrough. Now, as I close, I want to deal with three stories. And I'm going to go through these quick for the sake of time. But I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to see you. I want us to see breakthrough and what the three things that we've been that Pastor Eric talked about last week, what I'm reinforcing about faith, praise, and the anointing manifesting that brought breakthrough. Matthew 12, 25 through 28. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I might have wrote the wrong scripture down. Actually, it's thank you, Father. No, I think I wrote the wrong reference down. My apologies. But the story is when the woman that came that had a Syrophoenician woman, the Syrophoenician woman that had a child that needed to be healed. And it said that she came because she believed in him. And it said she fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And of course, they had that conversation of, well, you know, I'm sent to the house of Israel. And she says, but master, even the dogs get the crumbs that come from the table. And what does it go on and say? And she brought healing. Healing, and said she was healed from that moment forth. So what do we see? We see a woman that had faith. We see a woman that praised, and we see the fact that the anointing came and brought the breakthrough. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This whole chapter just unfolds so much about Cornelius' faith. But look at verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. So what do we see faith and we see praise. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he'll speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. And so next thing we see is Peter stands up and preaches. And Peter is preaching and he's talking about Jesus Christ that came. And it's where we get the scripture, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Peter is preaching to a man that had faith and had praise. So all of a sudden now God is sending the breakthrough. He's sending and he brings about the anointing. For sake of time, let's look at verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So we see a man who had faith, we see a man who praised, and we see what? The anointing shows up. The Spirit of God shows up. Now let me close with this one, Acts chapter 16. I'll just, you know this story. Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. And at midnight, being imprisoned, they sang praises. They spoke words of faith. They sang praises. And what happens? The anointing came into that prison. Not just into that prison room, but it shook the whole prison. It shook the whole prison. And it didn't just set them free, Vic. It wasn't just their breakthrough. But it also loosed every other person's bondages. All because of a people, New Testament people. This isn't just an Old Testament story. This is a New Testament reality and a people that and two men that had faith enough to praise God in the midst of adversity. And the anointing showed up and made a way in the wilderness. Amen. Breakthrough is now. The key to breakthrough is our faith in Him, and our faith-filled words. Our key to breakthrough is our worship and our praise. And our key to breakthrough is the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, and I just thank you for breakthrough over this house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough over this house, breakthrough over every family. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are making a highway right now. Even when we can't see it, we release our faith and we believe that you're working. We believe that you're working even when we can't see it. We believe that you're making a highway. Thank you, Lord, that you are making a path, Lord. So, Lord, we will continue to release our faith and our trust in you, and we will continue to praise you because, Lord, it's your will for our lives to praise you in the midst of adversity. In these last days, Lord, it is your will for us to give thanks in all situations. and we expect breakthrough. Lord, I thank you for breakthrough over each family, breakthrough in their finances. Lord, thank you for breakthrough in the form of wisdom, just what they need, the wisdom they need in their situation. Lord, breakthrough over their children. Lord, breakthrough in their physical bodies, breakthrough in their mental capacities, breakthrough. Those that have been suffering torment and oppression, Lord, I command that to break off of them. As they praise you, I thank you, Lord, that they will operate in such a greater level of freedom and a greater level of peace because their mind is totally on you. You said in Isaiah 26, you said, perfect peace have they who keep our minds stayed on you. So Lord, throughout the rest of this week, Lord, we make a decision to keep our minds stayed on you. And I thank you for great breakthroughs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You received that word tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I do want to give a testimony. Last week, they might be watching tonight. There was a lady that's a part of our church, and we hadn't seen this individual in a while, and so she reached out to Pastor Annette, and she'd been in the hospital, and we didn't know she had been in the hospital, and her numbers and her organs were way off, and it was really affecting every part of her body, and they couldn't get her numbers under control. But she was watching the service last Wednesday night in her hospital room. And like I said, this is from Saturday to Wednesday. They can't control her numbers. They're doing everything they can do medically to try to control her numbers, and they couldn't. And so Annette had prayed with her on the phone and so forth. But she watched that Wednesday night service, and she just knew that something. And so she was declaring breakthrough in her hospital room. Well, we get Annette gets a call the next day and said all her numbers are normal. Amen. All her numbers were normal. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you experience testimonies and what happens on a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, or while you're watching online, email us at testimonies@heritageoffaith.com. We want to hear those things. And we put them on our website, and we put them on our church center app, and it encourages other people's faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you receive that word tonight?
Yeah.